powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Jake, if you were to tell me that last night Julio Rodriguez got a home run, very exciting home run, that Ty France had three RBI, that Kyle Lewis in his first return to action in nearly a year got two hits, that George Kirby struck out nine, that the Mariners scored five runs, I'd say, you know what, that might have done it.
I'd say that might have done it. That's a pretty good night at the ballpark. That's what I would say.
Unfortunately, it was not. I mean, it was a good night at the ballpark through most of the game. That was until it wasn't. Let me go over the fun stuff, because you do want to look back at those moments and wonder if they can advance, and then we'll talk about what went wrong. So we're going to start with Julio's fifth home run of the year.
One on, 2 outs, pitch on the way to Julio, swing and a fly ball deep to left field. Pinder going back to the warning track, to the wall, gone, goodbye baseball. Julio Rodriguez with his fifth home run of the season.
Now, I don't want to say my favorite part of this wasn't the home run. It was obviously the home run, but it might have actually been the reaction in the dugout, where you see on the broadcast J.P. Crawford just turning, looking at, I think it was Logan Gilbert, kind of like, are you seeing this?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Also, and Cal Raleigh holding up his hands to high-five no one. No one high-fiving Cal. It was like when I left
you hanging. We've all been there.
You've been there recently.
We've all been there, Cal. Don't worry, buddy. It's not you. Everybody experiences it. So don't feel too bad about that. But that was an absolute moonshot from Julio Rodriguez,
yeah.
Right? I mean, just pure up in the air. I wanted to know how high that went. That was insane. But it is just so fun to watch this kid. I mean, honestly, he is incredible. And, you know, we talked with Scott Service yesterday about just all the talent that he possesses and the maturity that he possesses at the plate. It is so incredibly fun to watch him and to continue to see him grow and mature and develop and to learn from his mistakes and come back and be able to, you know, make those quick adjustments so that they don't get him again. I mean, they've been very, very impressed with Julio, and he just continues to keep getting better and better.
Kyle Lewis in his first return since May 31st, which is what day, Jake? My birthday. It's not about me, though. It's about Kyle Lewis.
Yeah.
Kyle Lewis making his first return to baseball since nearly a year. That series, ironically, also against the A's, gets his first base hit of the season.
Now the set and the 1-0 pitch. Swinging a ground ball to the hole. It's short and through for a base hit. Welcome back, Kyle Lewis. A single into left field for Lewis in his second at bat of the year.
Fans were on their feet for his first at-bat. That one, I think, was a ground out. But the second at-bat, you get a hit. He had another hit later in the game. And, Jake, he is slower than he used to be. You can see the toll that multiple knee surgeries have taken, even on a very young person. And that part of it is heartbreaking. You wonder if maybe that is something that improves as the season comes on. Again, this is his first return to a game. First return to a game in a year.
Yes.
And within that calendar year, he had surgery again. So it's been less than a year since that. That being said, it had to feel good for Kyle. There was good news yesterday. I know it was a frustrating game, but there was good news looking at what Julio was doing, what Kyle Lewis did, and, of course, regular contributions from Ty France, who never disappoints.
No, he doesn't disappoint. And for Kyle Lewis, I mean, on one end, like, it was so great to see him out there, and it was awesome to be able to not only have him out there, but for him to get a couple hits. And obviously you need him to be a factor for your lineup. And so it was great to see him be able to have that immediate success. But at the same time, I mean, guys, could we comment on Kyle Lewis in terms of his trot to first base? Like, I feel so bad for him. Like,
he's not 100% healthy.
No, he's not.
But I applaud him for getting out there.
No question. I mean, it's impressive, it's gritty, and it is very much appreciated that he is out there and trying to contribute in the best way that he can. And this more makes me sad, because this isn't like a older 30-year-old player. This
26?
Is yeah, and has dealt with so many knee injuries that, I mean, he is going through it. He's trying to get himself back, but I mean, to expect him to be anything else other than the DH, I think, is going to be a tough ask for the significant future and for the foreseeable future. And guess what? You don't need him to be anything else other than that. So hopefully, you know, he'll be able to really settle into his role well over this next stretch because they need the boost.
Obviously, it was not the outcome that they wanted, though, nor that the Mariners fans in attendance and watching wanted, and that was that the A's came back pretty quickly. You got a home run. Once Steckenrider entered the game, you after that had a fielding error by Jesse Winker that allowed a runner to score, another to get on base, and that ends up being another run. So there are your three runs that cost you the game after initially leading 5-4. Not great.
Yeah, no, it isn't great. And to be honest with you, I am just very curious as to what has happened here in 2022 versus 2021. In the sense that it has been a different type of ball in regards to how clean they have been out in the field. 2021, you know, one of the things that you could talk about the lineup and how they didn't produce very well. You know, two things that were very different last year compared to this year is the bullpen being absolute nails all season long. The main reason why you stayed in games in 2021, 2022, that's been it's been a disaster so far. And the other part is that this team has not been clean in the field. I mean, there are multiple games where you could go back to and say, man, they cost themselves a game or two because of the, you know, terrible decisions that were out there in the field and the mental mistakes that were made. And that was not something that happened last year. We constantly last year pointed to that team in 2021 and said how great of a job, despite all the young players and despite the fact that there were nearly 70 different players that donned a Mariners uniform last year, that they played really good, clean baseball. And I'm scratching my head as to why that has happened this year. But that error from Jesse Winker, like that just can't happen. That can't happen. You can't have that in a game like that. It was beyond frustrating, Stacey.
Yeah, we've got our kind of like quarterly report card coming up where we're going to talk about the grades and everything. And it's just kind of like a check-in to see where the Mariners are right now versus expectation. And Jesse Winker is one of those guys where it's like the grade doesn't reflect the ability. And I'm sure he recognizes that. But I was thinking of it almost in like the school version of like, Jesse can apply himself. Like that there is more there. We had on Brandon Gustafson yesterday who said basically like, hey, I have faith that the offense can improve. And while that's great, I do worry that it might not be enough considering the bullpen and considering that if there is a theme, I mean, the offense struggling was a theme, but if there is another theme, it's giving up those leads. It felt like it happened every time against Boston, right? It felt like that was the theme, is that the Mariners would get ahead. You'd think this is it. They've got it. And then it's not enough.
Yeah, momentum instantly killed.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you just look at last night. I mean, they go up, 5-4, and you're feeling really good. The energy's right. Everybody's excited. And then immediately, Steckenrider gives up that home run to Andres. I mean, it just was instant. Boom. It just gone. And those are the things that you cannot have. You cannot consistently do that and expect to win games. And right now, guess what? You haven't. I mean, you're 6-20 over in this time span. And that's not good last time I checked. Mm-hmm. So you're going to continue to struggle. And guess what? To the Mariners lineup's credit, over the last five games or six games, however long, let's see. I want to make sure I get this right. Six games, they have been better, scoring 6 runs, 5 runs, 4 runs, 6 runs, 5 runs. In these, out of 5 of the last 6 games, and it's really been the pitching, it's been the bullpen that has let you down in these games to close things out, and that can't happen. So right now, you're looking at a team that has not been able to be on all cylinders and has not been able to play together at the right moment, and that's tough. That's tough at this point of the season, and being able to say that, hey, they can turn it around. Although true, that's going to have to be one significant turnaround.
What do you guys, speaking of, make of this? So David Schoenfield, many of you know, is a baseball writer for ESPN. He takes a look at the slow starts for several different ball clubs. No surprise, the Mariners are one of those clubs. And decides whether the panic that fans are experiencing is real or not real. So, for instance, he'll look at the Toronto Blue Jays and say the panic is not real. There's no way that this lineup is going to be like this. It's unlikely this lineup, as much talent as it has, is going to be underperforming like this for the rest of the season. So he has kind of different outcomes for all these different teams. For the Mariners, he says the panic is real. And he bases that on the kind of underperformance of the guys that this team were relying on, that the Mariners didn't have a reservoir of talent. They didn't have excess talent. They had guys that they brought in to contribute. And then they had guys, prospects, that they were counting on to contribute, even though, obviously, that doesn't always happen with prospects.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows that more than Mariners fans.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
And so he kind of said that that Tacoma is like a snapshot of that, that you can see, you know, Kyle Lewis was briefly down there rehabbing an injury. Matt Brash was struggling. Evan White was hitless the other day. Kelnick went 0-for-4. So he's saying, here's a snapshot of some of these guys that the Mariners were hoping would contribute and, unfortunately, were probably planning on contributing, and they aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I mean, it's a big problem. It's a big reason why you're in the position that you're in, right? Outside of the star talent, we know how much they were relying upon players, younger players, you know, lesser experienced players, in not only taking a step forward but leaps forward. And that was going to be a great determining factor as to how they could get themselves into the playoffs this year. And that is a tremendous risk. That's a risk that you are taking on, and you are taking on a snapshot of performance and saying that that is exactly who this player is and is going to be over the long term of a marathon 162-game season. That's a big risk and a big gamble. And unfortunately, it has not paid off for the Mariners, and there's only a handful of guys, I mean really two guys that I would point to and say that that has worked, Logan Gilbert and Julio Rodriguez. Everybody else has not really taken that step that this organization was hoping that they would from that point. And then you tack on Jesse Winker not necessarily being the power hitter and the you know, run-producing bat that they were hoping he would be and provide to this lineup. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where you're at right now. And I'm incredibly frustrated with the fact that this is a team that had every opportunity to really put themselves in strong position to compete and compete at a high level and failed to do so, whether it was off-season acquisition and whether it's just individual performers not stepping up to the plate and you know, coming through the way you were hoping they would here in 2022.
Well, and I know it's a marathon and there are going to be slumps, but this team was so fun at the end of last year and there were so many young personalities and so much promise that I want to cover a fun version of a team. I mean, even one that is struggling, you know, I want to feel excited about these young pieces and what this team can be. And I want this team to be fun. And let's hope that they
yes.
can find a way to do that. Right now, though, it's certainly not feeling like it. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about one aspect of the Mariners that we've been overlooking all season long. Before then, though, it's time for Headline Rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Teela Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, at league meetings this week, the NFL is reportedly considering eliminating the Pro Bowl game altogether. What's the real headline?
Early congratulations to one Jake Heaps for the extra 4 hours he's getting back every year.
Congrats, buddy.
Congrats, Jake. What are you going to do with
Thank
that
you.
Time?
Thank you.
He's going to watch another alternate
grind
football
some
league.
Tape.
He's going to go watch XFL games.
I mean,
they're back in 2023.
Yeah.
Stacey, I was going to say that I was going to use that time to be a dedicated father and husband, okay? That's exactly
Jake.
What
But now
I was
we're
say.
Telling him there's but other football on.
And that, you know, there's nothing more important than watching football with your kids.
Yeah, I mean, look, you teach them how to grind tape early, and when you do that,
I'm imagining
you
Jake
are setting up their future.
Watching Seahawks
that.
Tape.
No, you can't.
Watching Seahawks tape with River, who is an infant, and she has a tiny notebook in front of her. He's like, "All right, Riv, what do you see here?" And she's just
she's like drooling on herself.
I'm telling you, 9 months old, she can do it.
Explaining it, breaking it down for
her. She can do it. I mean, you just ask her questions. She's going to be in the studio at some point today. So
we should make a regular recurring bit, a video where Jake is explaining football concepts, but to his kids.
And they just give blank stares.
That would be good.
Seriously, that's really
good.
It's
like, Dad, I don't know what you're talking about.
In a way, you're explaining football concepts to all of us when
right.
you're watching it. But
I'm explaining it to my kids.
Specifically to your kids.
I like that.
Thank you.
We're going to add that.
I'm copywriting that.
Explain it to me like I'm five.
Yeah,
we are going to do that this season. This season, we are going to do that. Absolutely. That's an awesome idea.
Headline rewrites.
And my kids are going to hate you for putting this together.
Well,
here I am.
I think that they're going to be able to learn.
I just want to go play outside.
Yeah.
Jackson and Bodie.
I think they're going to be able to learn. Did you ever, when you were little, make believe that you were like a teacher or an instructor or anything?
No, Stacey. I did not grow up wanting to.
That's something immediately a nerd would do.
No.
This is somebody that immediately from birth wanted to have power over
yes.
others to be able to tell people what to do. And that's exactly Stacey Ross.
That's exactly what it was. I made my younger sister and her friends sit through my, quote, classroom.
See what I mean?
And I would make them
see
do,
what I mean?
I would make
lecture
them do,
hall.
I would make them do times tables. Like, I would have a board, like a whiteboard or a chalkboard that I would write on. And I'd be like, I'm the teacher and you guys are doing math now. Weirdly, they stopped coming over.
That sounds wildly boring.
Her friends stopped coming over. I
that
don't know
is
why.
So weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
I think
Mom,
it was a
I don't
want
to go over to Stacy's house because she makes me do math instead of watching cartoons. Headline number two, the Dallas Mavericks keep the Western Conference Finals alive
right.
with a win over Golden State on Tuesday. We call that a gentleman's sweep. You don't sweep them all together. You let them get one game. So it might be 4-1 if the Warriors win. What's the real headline?
Warriors fans can sleep easy knowing their team has a 3-1 series lead.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what's wrong?
Oh, boy.
No, it's a good, that's a good feeling.
History tells us the Warriors
what?
Have not had the best luck.
No, I mean, that's a solid series lead, guys. There's no way. No way that the Warriors would give up a 3-1 lead.
Now, I will say that Luka is not
LeBron.
And I will say that I would feel pretty comfortable if I was the Warriors with a 3-1 lead. But history has told us that never say never. And look, the Mavs are going to have to come out swinging. They're going to have to, you know, be on their A game yet again. They're going to have to do that to give this a chance to be able to go to game seven. But, you know, I think that even with that loss last night, I mean, it's not like, you know, it was a blowout loss. I mean, this was a 10-point win for the Mavs, and I fully expect that the Warriors are going to seal the deal, that they're going to close this thing out, and they're going to be waiting on the Eastern Conference to be able to determine who is going to be representing in the finals, right? But, you know, as we talked about the Warriors, we talked about ultimately what type of team are they going to be, what kind of dynasty do they have left in them. If they can get themselves to the finals and they can win, mm-hmm. it reopens that window even with that group. You know, look, they're not like crazy old, but they're getting older.
And we may find out who's going to be representing the Western Conference long before the Eastern Conference finals, currently tied 2-2 in that series. Curtis, I cannot get over the concept of a gentleman's sweep.
It's
like, I'm so
being friendly.
With that,
yeah.
And I want to know what else we can apply it to. Like in a shutout game when you allow a single run in the bottom of the ninth and you're like, a gentleman's run.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, being sportsmanlike.
Yeah, exactly.
A gentleman's no hitter.
A tip of the cap, yeah. A gentleman's sweep.
That's
we'll,
right.
We'll allow you to get one win.
Yes.
But, you'll not get four.
Guys, I'm sorry, but I can't get over the fact in my mind right now. I am just so incredibly nervous to go to the ballpark today with my boys and with my brother-in-law and my nephew, because the Mariners need to win.
Yeah.
This series in the worst way.
Yes. Why are you nervous about going there? Oh,
because
you're worried, like,
I don't want to come
angry
in tomorrow.
Okay.
And talk about the fact that this team lost a series to the A's, who have openly tried to tear this thing down and sell all their good players. And the Mariners are supposed to be a team coming into the season that everyone is excited about, that everyone was thinking, hey, mm-hmm. this is the year where the playoffs are. You know, the mindset, the playoffs are not just a wish and a hope and a dream, but it is the expectation. I don't want to live in a world where that happens. And Curtis, the guy that's on the mound for the A's,
Paul Blackburn.
Yeah.
He's pretty good this year.
Yeah.
4-0, ERA under 2.
Cool. That's exactly who I want to face. And you know what? Look, the Mariners have taken down good pitching over the last year. You know, I mean, Max Scherzer, no problem. Kevin Gausman, no problem. Paul Blackburn, not nearly the same caliber of pitcher, but we can slay the dragon. I have to believe that they can do that. Stacey,
I believe.
Do you?
Next headline.
Headline rewrites.
You didn't sound so confident there, Stacey. Headline number three. Steve Kerr, LeBron James, and other sports figures from around the world spoke out after Tuesday's tragic school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that left 19 students and two adults dead. What is the real headline?
Thankfully, no one's sticking to sports this week. It is so important to hear from all voices and all kinds of voices when stuff like this happens. And I think far too often, people treat being in sports, whether you're a coach, whether you're an athlete, although you've somehow, as though you've surrendered a right to opine about something that affects you. You drop your kids off at school, right? Your grandkids off at school. And also for a lot of these guys, it's personal. Steve Kerr's father was assassinated. It's a very personal topic and subject for him. And I think that one of my biggest pet peeves, and I know many of you listening, it's a big pet peeve as well, is to have people who are part of the community at large, even if they're in sports, part of the community at large, saying, you know, hey, I want to comment on this tragedy that we are all watching unfold, that we all care about and that devastates us all. Everyone should be allowed to say what they want to happen. And I also think it's important in moments like this that we hear from people and we hear in those moments.
Yeah, my heart breaks for those families. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, every time I think about it, tears come to my eyes. Yesterday, you know, Brooke and I just being devastated and talking about it and seeing our three kids and squeezing them a little tighter and loving them a little harder last night. And, it is mind-numbing. It is horrifying. And, I don't know what the answers are, but we have to find better solutions. And my thoughts and prayers go to those who have been affected by that, their families and loved ones who are experiencing devastation and their community. It's happening far too often, and would love to get down to the bottom of how we can actually have meaningful change, you know? And like I said, I don't have the answers. I know a lot of people have a lot of opinions on that, but I hope everyone out there, you know, just squeeze onto your loved ones a little tighter today.
Yeah.
I don't have much words other than that. It's the more I talk about it, the more emotional I get.
Yeah. And it's ultimately what I wanted to stress with this final headline and just with our messaging now is that while we try to have fun as a show, tragedies are something we all see unfold. And every single one of us wants it to stop and wants to live in a world where it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we listen to each other and try to find solutions,
yes,
then we can have that happen.
And I think listening to each other is the biggest thing, not shouting at each other and acting like we all have the answers, the sweeping answers to the problem. But coming up, we owe it to ourselves and to our children to be able to do that.
All right. Later on, as a reminder for you guys, we have a two-hour show today. You're going to get sent to the Mariners pregame show because you have a matinee today for that series finale, 1:10 p.m. first pitch. We're going to take a look at something with the Mariners that should be capturing more of our attention than it is. That's next.
Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right. The Mariners' underperforming offense has actually improved over the last couple games. That's good, obviously. But it was so bad for a while, Jake, that it took our attention away from a real problem with this team. That problem is harder to solve. That's what we talked about with Brandon Gustafson yesterday when he joined us during the end of the dugout. And we said, hey, tell us, you know, how this team can get better. Talk us off the ledge. Talk fans off the ledge. And he said, look, I actually think the offense can improve. I think there's enough talent there. He looked at, Jesse Winker, at some numbers, obviously, for Julio. And the idea that this team would continue to struggle so much offensively. They aren't going to be the best, but that they would continue to struggle so much felt like something that maybe wouldn't remain something like a trend. However, he said, I'm actually more worried about the pitching, whether it's the bullpen, whether it's starting pitching, and
yep.
had some really disconcerting numbers and some information that wasn't so great. And that's something that Shannon Dreyer has also said with us, right, is, look, everyone's looking at the offense, but mm-hmm. that bullpen's a problem. The starting pitching at times has been great and just not gotten support, and then at other times has fallen apart. But the one trend you've noticed in some of these recent games is that what Seattle relied on so much last year, their bullpen, they cannot rely on this year.
No, they can't. And right now, increasingly, you are struggling to even say that about your starting rotation, right? I mean, just overall, the amount of runs that they are giving up, the home runs that they are giving up collectively across the board, whether it's starting pitching, then you turn to your bullpen. I mean, having Drew Steckenrider completely fall off this year and Anthony Misevich, the same thing. I mean, it's just, it has not gone well for this bullpen. It has not gone well for this pitching staff right now. I mean, the Mariners have allowed 124 runs this month. This month. Put that in perspective, the Astros and Angels have allowed 135 runs combined.
Don't like it.
Combined. Don't like that. I mean, it is just, it's been brutal. It's been absolutely brutal. And so when you talk about your offense, you talk about your struggling offense, and they finally turn things around, and they're starting to get better, and they're starting to actually contribute more, and they're you know, getting you ahead in early leads, or, you know, like last night, you know, you have a Julio home run that puts you ahead, and you've got the momentum, and everybody's excited. Immediately gone. Boom. Home run. That has been a problem that has been bubbling under the surface to start the year that everyone's kind of overlooked, and rightfully so, because I think the lineup and their issues have been so stark. But now you really see the problems that are coming together with this pitching staff, and it's not just, you know, the first 30 games of the year type of deal. No, this is becoming a real, genuine, consistent problem. And I don't know how you go about changing it, but you're not going to win, you know, a whole lot of ball games, and certainly not at the rate that you're hoping that they will, if this trend continues for this team.
I don't know that you can change, Curtis, you'll know better about baseball trends than I do. I don't know that you can change a bad bullpen. You can just maybe add to your offense by the trade deadline. Maybe you add a bullpen arm by the trade deadline. I mean, the Astros certainly did that in the middle of a series last year with Seattle. I think that the most likely solution, if there is to be a solution to me, is that offense improves enough to make up for it.
I think that's the easiest fix if you don't want to go out and trade for bullpen arms, if you don't want to go out and look outside your organization. You just hope and pray that the offense can produce enough to where the bullpen doesn't factor in most nights. But yeah, I mean, the Mariners bullpen right now is what's holding them back in a lot of these games as of late. If you're going to fix a bullpen, there are very few opportunities like they had last year where Paul Sewald comes up in the month of May and turns out to be a top five reliever in baseball. That rarely, if ever, happens. And just think about where the Mariners would be without Sewald this year. I mean, I don't want to think about that. There really is nobody waiting in the wings down in AAA. I mean, you look at the Rainiers, they've been terrible this season.
You don't think they're looking at, like, a Brash or Sheffield?
Well, Matt Brash hasn't been so hot coming out of the bullpen right now.
What if they're relying on that? Or what if they're thinking, like, well, we have these options?
Well,
we don't know, I guess.
Yeah, I would not feel comfortable bringing Brash up right now, especially considering the last few games he's been on down in AAA. I think he gave up 5 runs in one inning the other night. There just is not help immediately available in your farm system right now. And maybe that's why you choose to move Matt Brash to the bullpen, because you knew there wasn't going to be much help along the way. And as we know, this Mariners team, whether they were forward about it or not, I think tried to make an effort at competing for a playoff spot in 2022. Now, Do I think that they were going to go all in this season? No. And
that's clear.
It goes to show in the moves that they made that they left themselves with a lot of wiggle room going into 2023.
Doing a lot of holes.
Yeah, exactly. So there is still, boy, like you said, there's still a ton of holes for this team to address.
Mm-hmm.
But what should be easiest to do is to find bullpen arms. I mean, they're not going to cost you as much as finding an impact bat, finding a top-of-the-rotation starter. You can find a guy that can get you, you know, through the sixth inning, through the seventh inning. I mean, maybe Penn Murphy becomes that guy who, like Paul Sewald was a year ago. And Murphy's off to a great start.
He's got a chance.
He's had, like, one bad outing.
But to expect that from somebody making their major league debut this season, that's a tall order.
Well, and it's the same thing with Andres Munoz, right? Like, we all know the talent and the stuff that he has, but he has been someone that has struggled to start this year. And guess what? You were relying pretty heavily on Andres Munoz in this year being a factor for you. And it has not worked out for them. It just has not come together. But then you also look at Anthony Misevich. You look at the overall bullpen. Casey Sadler obviously gets hurt, and that's the only reason why you have Sergio Romo now here with the Mariners. It didn't seem like they were going to make that add if Sadler would have been a part of this team. But it just seems like you're leaving yourself constantly in a position where you're hoping and wishing that things are going well rather than actively making sure that you have more than enough depth to be able to weather the storm, whether it's via injuries, whether it's, you know, getting more proven commodities, that you have a better understanding and can have a more consistent expectation of. And right now, that's kind of the problem that they are putting themselves in, is that Scott Service right now goes to the bullpen, and he doesn't know outside of Paul Sewald who he's going to get.
Yep.
To be honest with you, Paul Sewald and Sergio Romo, you don't know who you're going to get each and every single night. Hopefully Diego Castillo turns that around for you and optimistic about that, but that's a legit concern and problem.
From the 415, but the offense has been scoring at least 5 runs the last few games. Can you reasonably expect more from this offense? I think that is a very fair question. We're going to get to that a little bit in our quarter mark.
That's why we talked about pitching this segment.
Coming up at 11, it is a good question. First, though, before we get to that, at 10:45, coming up here, you're just a couple minutes away from Say It With Your Chest. Jake is going to get us started, but it is easy. So if you have one, you can send it in. It is a topic you will not back down from this week. You are willing to fight over this topic, and you will not back down. 206-421-3776. That's next.
Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios
on Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
All right, we tried this something new last week. It's Say It With Your Chest, where you're going to say something that you feel passionate about. You're going to explain your take. It has to be a take. You have to tell us how you feel. And ideally, you convince us. But either way, you're not backing down. That's the entire point of the segment. Say It With Your Chest. Jake, why don't you get us started?
Okay, I will. Curtis, do we have
Say It With Your Chest.
There we go.
All right. Now, my Say It With My Chest is revolved around the Mariners, and it is revolved around this feeling that you increasingly feel as everything progresses. And I'm going to give you one example, and I'm going to expand that, okay?
Okay.
Right now, it feels like when you're talking about the Mariners that they have not adequately covered all of their bases when it comes to the offense or pitching in terms of finding good quality depth and making sure that you're not in a position where you are one injury or two injuries away from being totally out of sorts. And that's what has happened with this team. The lineup, Mitch Haniger being out, totally out of sorts. With the pitching staff, Casey Sadler being out, And you could add, you know, Ken Giles to that list, totally out of sorts. And right now, this is also sparked by seeing this on Twitter. Brandon Gustafson, our own Brandon Gustafson, tweeted this out. Anthony Misevich is currently the lone lefty in the Mariners bullpen. The only lefty. And lefties are slashing .292, .346, and .500. Righties are slashing .286, .348, and .381. I don't understand. It's not just Anthony Misevich and him taking a step back from last year. That's not what I'm frustrated about. It's the fact that you have not properly prepared and gotten yourself ready for to compete within your own division, first and foremost, and also how do you only have one lefty in your bullpen? I am so confused by that. And why was there not more effort when you know you have, just within your own division, you have Otani, you have Marsh, you have Walsh, you have Alvarez, you have Brantley, you have Seager that you're going to face? I think good lefty bullpen arms would be pretty advantageous for this team. And this is just one example of amongst many others of, I don't understand how this team in the offseason did not do more to make sure that they were safeguarded against injuries and also to make sure that they were combating the you know, talent that they were going to face in their division. To me, that is a major flaw and a major problem and one of the big reasons why you're seeing this team flounder to start the season, and it's driving me crazy.
I could not agree more. You don't even have to convince me when it comes to that. My say it with your chest last week was that the Mariners didn't do enough in the offseason. We're both in line with that. And honestly, if I were to have one this week, it would be that I hope I get like a cold takes exposed moment for this, but the Mariners are not going to win a World Series unless they spend more than they are right now. I know there are people that think they can like moneyball their way through things, or they can do what the Rays have done and just try to outsmart the rest of the room. But I think that's actually incredibly difficult. Is it possible? Yeah, in the sense that anything is possible, really. But the Mariners, if they are serious about winning a World Series, and they should be, need to spend more.
Mm-hmm.
You need to open the wallet. And I can understand, I may not agree, but can understand why, as an organization, they didn't feel especially comfortable doing it this year. You need to do it eventually. And I know that there are people that think that that's not the case, and I could not disagree with you more, which is why I said it with my chest. I have a food one as well, which is ironic.
Oh, great.
No, listen, Curtis, can I get that one more time?
Say it with your chest!
Now, this is ironic, given that last week my food take was that cake is overrated, but my food take this week, birthday cake, is the best cake.
Birthday cake is the best cake.
Birthday
so you're going to stay with the cake theme here.
Yeah, I've
to me,
right. Well, I'm staying with the birthday theme. But
okay.
I was thinking yesterday of what cake I want for my birthday, which is Tuesday, May 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that the cake that I want, and there's a big gap between the next choice, is classic birthday cake. Sprinkles, funfetti, maybe some cookie dough or whatever you want to put on top of it. But birthday cake, the best cake flavor. And before you try to disagree with me, then why is that an option at Cold Stone? Huh? Then why is there a birthday cake pop at Starbucks? Then why is birthday cake a flavor of, like, I don't know, what's the Dairy Queen thing you can get that
Blizzard.
People turn upside down? The
Stacey,
Blizzard that you can get.
Just because a flavor is widely available doesn't make it the best.
No,
you know what
it
the most popular flavor of ice cream is? Vanilla.
And it's
no one's saying
flavor.
That it's the best flavor of ice cream. You know what the most popular candy bar is? A Hershey bar.
And it's
no
a
one's
fine
saying it's the favorite.
Candy bar. Birthday
just because
cake.
Birthday cake is widely available does not make it the best flavor.
Then what's the best cake?
The best cake is wedding cake.
Oh.
It's got a density to it.
Yeah. It does.
Oh,
it
yeah.
does have a density to it.
It's got a weightiness to it that you just don't get with birthday cake.
The flavor is
my wedding cake
always
is going to be funfetti cake.
It's going to be funfetti?
No, it's absolutely not. Absolutely
why not? Funfetti not. is honestly amazing.
It is amazing, but that's not going to be my birth or my. Why are we talking about this?
Because
oh my
Curtis
God,
brought
I just
up birthday
stopped
cake.
Myself. Stacey, we're on air right
ice
now.
Ice cream cake too. 808 says Baskin Robbins ice cream cake.
Ice cream
yes.
cake, sure.
Dairy
yes.
Queen's got a really good one.
The 425
as well.
Says all cakes
Oreo,
can be birthday cakes, but
Oreo
no.
ice cream cake.
Sure.
Sign
ooh,
me up.
Baby,
1,000%.
Yeah.
Let's go.
However, what I mean is like a cake with sprinkles and little chips in it and like, you guys know what I mean when I mean birthday cake.
Yeah,
tastes
mean,
like
you
cake
mean,
dough
you mean
and
funfetti
batter.
Rainbow
it's like made
chip.
Out of a box.
Yeah.
Like a Betty Crocker
uh-huh.
box, Duncan Hines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, funfetti rainbow chip. Right? That's what you're talking about.
Now it's just completely, this says my wedding cake was funfetti cake. I'm sure that was a great time. German chocolate cake is the best. Ooh,
my,
360, I disagree with you on that one, but respect your opinion.
Brooke loves
another German 360 pineapple upside down cake. Red velvet, most common response right now.
Red Velvet's good. It's one of my favorites. I do like Red Velvet. I'm trying to remember. No, it was my sister. My sister had a orange creamsicle.
Oh,
it was super good.
That sounds really good.
And so, like, at our house, we got all the leftover cake from the wedding. It was like Red Velvet. It was orange creamsicle. There was like this these other kind of flavors. And I kid you not, for like 2 weeks after the wedding, all I did was just eat cake. And it probably was the worst I've ever felt in my life. But it was so good. So good.
602 says Stacey wouldn't know anything about wedding cake.
Oh.
Actually, 602, I'm blocking you right now. All right, coming up here, we've got our Mariners quarter mark report card. Don't go anywhere.